Philippians 1, verses 3 to 16. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Well, good morning. Thank you again for having me. It's great to be with you. Sorry that I can't do it in person, but this is great to be able to be with you virtually. And thank you for your ongoing support and prayers and praying for Open Doors regularly as well. Thank you so much for speaking up on behalf of our brothers and sisters around the world. It really does make a difference. A couple of weeks ago, someone asked me the question, Dan, what have you achieved during lockdown? Which I thought was a little bit of a cheeky dig, actually, but it got me thinking. There's so much going on in life. In some ways, with everything going on, some aspects of my life feel like they've ground to a complete halt. The kids' education is not quite the same now that we're homeschooling them. Employment changes and pressures. If you were trying to sell your house, we're not, but if you were trying to, the housing market, the drama of that, and even actually going to the supermarket can be a bit of an event, can't it? In some ways, I feel like I'm standing still. And yet God's great commission to us still stands. Lockdown has not halted the kingdom of God advancing. Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. It wasn't conditional on what was going on in the world. It's go, make disciples of all nations. And okay, we might be doing it digitally and in creative ways, but we're still told to go. It's still a word for us today. And the persecuted church, those that are being pursued for their faith, have been doing this, and actually we can learn a lot from them. They've been in isolation. They've been alone. They've been persecuted and having to deal with different regulations and things with the state and all kinds of things, and yet the church grows and even thrives. And so I just wanted to think, what can we learn? How can we do mission in this season? How can we continue to go? See, for the first followers of Jesus, it wasn't about self-preservation or safety or comfort. They knew that following Jesus was costly. After all, they'd been eyewitnesses to Jesus being crucified on a cross. Living dangerously for faith and with their faith was all that they knew. The New Testament, of course, is written by persecuted Christians, writing to persecuted Christians who are all living in the context of persecution. And it's from that place that I want us to look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul, the writer of Philippians, is in prison. And it would feel like, I believe, life has stopped. Maybe it will be a place to feel sorry for yourself. And in many ways, although our current situation is very different, perhaps some of the feelings that Paul could have felt in prison would be how we feel right now, emotions that stir up in us. When's this going to end? What's around the corner? What's coming up next? And so there are a few things I just want to draw out of this passage that I hope and pray will encourage us and serve us well. The first one is this: there is huge power in prayer. Paul's in prison and he opens his letter to the Philippians by telling them that he prays for them, thanking God in every prayer with joy for them always. Now, I want you to just pause for a moment and ask yourself this question. If you were in prison, what would you be praying or asking for prayer for? If it was me, I'd be saying, God, get me out of here. Why am I here? This is for criminals. I've just been trying to follow you. Why am I in chains behind bars? I'm just trying to follow you. What is going on? And yet his focus is on the Philippian church. It's on praying for them. He's not saying, pray for me because I'm really struggling and I just want to get out of here. He's saying, I thank God for you every single day. And in verse 7, you see the affection that he has for them as he prays. He prays that their love would abound, that they would be approving what is excellent, that they would be pure and blameless. A summary of their prayer could almost be, God, I pray you would make the Philippian church more like Jesus, just as I pray that you would make me more like Jesus. And our prayers change things. Our persecuted family, one of the things we hear time and again from the field is how thankful they are for our prayers. It's not a case of wasted time or dead time or they just hit the ceiling. No, they're heard and they matter and they make a difference. And actually, it's the primary way that our brothers and sisters around the world know they are part of something bigger than themselves. They know they are part of one family, one body, who are stronger together. Our prayers, Brother Andrew says, they go where we cannot. So I would love us to be in this season praying to God and saying, God, make me more like Jesus, but also lifting up our prayers in support of others, as Paul does here in Philippians 1. There's a great prayer that I pray, a little saying that I say to myself quite regularly, and it's this: I'm not the man that I ought to be, but I thank God that I'm not the man I used to be. On this path of transformation, being made more like Jesus. And there's always more, isn't there? And part of that, part of our growth in the power of prayer, is not tethering our joy to our circumstance. If Paul had done that in terms of his prayer life, we would have had this dreary letter to the Philippians about how it's cold or it's damp and he's alone and it's unfair. When we do that, our joy goes up and down, a bit like the roller coaster of life. We have to let the joy of the Lord anchor us in all circumstances. God's good. God loves me. I have to be thankful for that. And when we come to the Lord with prayers of thankfulness, it begins to change us. It changes our attitude. It changes how we view the world. It changes how we interact with one another. Because when we pray, we are talking to the creator of the universe. We're talking to the one who flung stars into space. Whatever the challenge, however we're feeling, he's got this, hasn't he? He's in control of all of this. And that leads me on to my kind of second, I've not started, or actually right now, the occasional kind of lockdown garden project that if you were to see my back garden is just half done. I'm not brilliant at kind of finishing what I've started, but here, Paul is so sure about God's commitment to his people. They recognize that they've got it at work in you. He will bring it to completion. Our salvation, us being rescued, is secure. Not because of you, because of me, but because of him. Therefore, he's not finished with us yet. Verse 13 of chapter 2 in Philippians, he continues with the same kind. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I love in that verse that the tense is present. It's God in you right now. It's an ongoing thing for the glory of God. It's not a case of God saying, Dan, I started this work in you, but you know what now, mate? You can handle it. You've got it. Take it from here. See you later. That's not how God operates. The basis of our confidence and our assurance is not only does he start us off on the right path, but God keeps us there too. And we can have every confidence that the God who is will not let us go. And so with every breath that we have, we can live for him. And we can join in his great commission of sharing God with the world. And this is applicable for us right now, despite the challenge. Whilst Paul's in prison, he's not saying, it's over, I'm done, go on sharing. To the contrary, he's advancing the gospel. And this situation provides the opportunity for us to move God forward, to see change. Perhaps church is never going to be the same again. We don't have to feel like we're stuck, not going anywhere. It declares that God finishes what he starts. I want to share with you, here's the logic. If our mate Paul is in prison and is still full of joy and he is advancing the kingdom and he's in prison, then hey guys, we can do this too. We have a boldness to share. And isn't that the same when we're thinking about the persecuted church? Wow, what an inspiring story of Doc and Jig. And if they can advance the gospel, then surely we can too. I want to share another story with you. And it's a friend of mine called Mushtaba. I met him this year, earlier in 2020. And he's an Iranian Christian that fled Iran because of persecution. His life was at risk. And so he fled the country. And he was a church leader, secret underground church that was raided by secret police. He recalls that 20 to 30 secret police just raided his home. And he was thrown into solitary confinement. And then he was, after that, thrown into prison, where he was kept. And for the majority of his sentence, for the 3 years that he served, he was with murderers, robbers, drug dealers, you name it. It wasn't a safe place to be. He couldn't trust anyone. And actually, in his own kind of words, he struggled to find hope, not knowing when or even if he would be released. And this is all, remember, because he's following Jesus. He was struggling to know if he had purpose. He'd gone from leading church to feeling hopeless behind bars. Yet God had plans for Mushtaba. He began sharing his testimony and the gospel with other prisoners, and some came to faith. He told me the story of one guy called Muhammad who was on death row for his crimes. And Mushtaba shared the gospel with him. He repented, he put his trust in Jesus, and he was later, some months later, executed by the state, but his eternal destiny had been changed. Mushtaba was serving God behind bars, but in order to do that, he really wanted a Bible, and it was proving impossible to get a Bible in Iran, a Muslim majority country, to get a Bible in prison, almost impossible. But God had a plan. A Muslim imam had an idea. He would bring in printouts of the Bible disguised as English lessons. They were then translated into Farsi and spread around the prison. I want you to get the significance of that. A Muslim imam brought the Bible into prison for the Christians so they could spread the gospel. This is what Mushtaba says. For me, going to prison, the isolation was worth it. I'd do it again if it meant someone put their trust in Jesus. Whilst in prison, I never prayed once for God to release me from prison. I can serve God anywhere, he says, inside or outside of prison. It doesn't matter what situation I'm in. I can work in God's kingdom wherever he places me. Where's God placed you? With the wonders of technology right now, with the resources that we have available to us, where has God placed you to do his work? The gospel reaches beyond prison gates. It reaches beyond distancing and isolation. And God has plans and purposes for us to do his work at such a time as this, amidst all the uncertainty and perhaps life taking a turn that we wouldn't have written for ourselves or even planned on. We can count on God knowing, on God being with us and God being faithful and using us. I hope you're inspired by the stories of Mustaba and Doc and Jick, that we don't have to stand still, that we can take ground for Jesus, to live as Christ, Paul says in verse 21. And while there's breath in our lungs, we can give our all for him. And on this mission gift day, you are part of God's mission to the world. In your Zoom chats, in your work conversations, perhaps socially distancing with your neighbours, standing with our persecuted family around the world, or perhaps growing in confidence in your sharing of the gospel because people like Mustaba are doing it behind bars. We can go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, just as the Philippians were doing and just as Paul was doing, even in prison. I want to ask you to continue to stand with your persecuted family around the world. In the top 50 countries where it's hardest to follow Jesus, it's estimated there are 260 million Christians following Jesus who are being persecuted for their faith. And you can order these online for free on the Open Doors website at the World Watch List 2020. And in there as well, it lists all 50 countries, but helpfully, different prayer points for the things going on. But on top of the persecution that our brothers and sisters are enduring around the world, the global spread of coronavirus is having a devastating effect. Lockdown means that Christians no longer have an income and can't buy food. In India, there was a full-scale lockdown. You think the lockdown here is extreme of 60 million people. In India, there's 1.3 billion people. And the Christians in that country are often ignored when it comes to official aid or distribution. They desperately need your help and your prayers. An Open Doors partner in India, Akash, again, I've changed his name, says people are scared. They don't know how long down lockdown is going to last. They're not even able. I want you to think about this. In parts of the world right now, Christians, because of their faith, they're not even able to provide one meal for their family. They would go out to work. Pastors would work. They would work and they would bring in that money for that day. They would use that money. They would buy the food and that's it. Well, what happens if the next day comes and you can't go out to work anymore? Christians around the world in places like India and Bangladesh are literally starving right now. And Open Doors local partners are looking for ways to help. We see people in great need, Akash says, and we have to help them, even if it's risky. PPE, clean water, pipe dream stuff in parts of the world. And these people on the front line are choosing faith over fear. They are choosing to lift their eyes and focus on the unseen, to put their trust in God, no matter the circumstances. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. They're recognizing that God can use them in this moment. And as we face challenging days, please could I just encourage you to remember those most persecuted. And not only that, but learn from their stories of courageous faith. We can support and stand with them in prayer and in our giving. And all the information that you need can be found on our website. And I'm sure through the gift information and the day that you're having and through David as well. It's critical as ever that we stand with our persecuted family. I want to finish with some beautiful words from Doc in Laos. And I hope they inspire you because they've really inspired me about how I can play my part as a part of the church in going and being a witness and sharing the good news with people. In Laos, there are two seasons, the sunny and the rainy season. Robust trees thrive in both. Our church is the same as a robust tree. It thrives in the sun and it thrives in the rain. And more importantly, it gives shade to others, whether it's from the heat or from the downpour. Whatever the season, we can be like the Lao church, a tree that gives shade to others in this trying time, deeply rooted in God alone. The meaning of life, my friends, does not consist in what we achieve or we don't achieve in lockdown, but in what God makes of it. So be willing to be used, to be his hands and his feet, and get on with the mission that he's laid before us, to make disciples of all nations. And as we do that, the God who began a good work in you, he will bring it to completion. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the assurance that you are with us. Thank you for the assurance that you are for us. Thank you, God, that we can trust you. And we pray right now for our brothers and sisters around the world who inspire us with their faith, who inspire us with their courage despite their circumstance. Help us, like the Philippians, to be emboldened in our faith, in our sharing of the good news. Thank you for their stories. And we do pray, God, and ask, Holy Spirit, you would come and meet with us now. Help us to remember them in our prayers and also to support them as and where we can. Lord Jesus, we pray for us as well and the church family in Wallington. We ask that you would fill them with your Spirit to enable them in these trying times to go to their community, however they can do that, in the most creative ways digitally, that they would see people put their trust in Jesus. And for each of us, God, would you reassure us now in our hearts that God, the God who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.